Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Cooper?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Hello. Coop, real quick. You are not allowed to pick the cases anymore.
Shit.
And listen, we'll leave it up to the audience of, like, what they think.
Okay.
But I tried this with Joel and his sick fuck wife, and guess what happened?
We got
girl in the box.
I tried to leave the worst stuff out of it.
But, like, then where's the story? Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point.
Although we did do Dahmer, wink, this is a little Dahmer-esque, but, and we went through, and I wrote that one, we went through every victim in detail. Do you remember we had to make it a two or three-parter?
Yeah.
Because I insisted on, like, the whole how they met, the bringing them back, the, like, right?
Yeah. On this one, at the very least, I did try to just skim over some of it right in the middle. Because if we did go, like, murder by murder, we'd be here for the next 2 days.
Yeah, and it'd be like Groundhog's Day.
It also, there'd be a lot of repeated information. Because this guy had, he had
one
a
of the
modus
most
operandi.
Solid, yeah, one of the most solid MOs.
Yeah.
Without getting caught that I've ever seen.
Which, how the hell did...
I'll tell you how, friend. When we tell you this story, you're going to think it's in the 1900s.
Yeah.
You're going to think it's in the 1800s, maybe even earlier. It's not. It's just Louisiana.
Well, like I said, Louisiana hasn't quite left the 1800s yet.
I love New Orleans, all the little places right around New Orleans. I've liked hanging out with people. People there when I go there have been very nice to me, listeners. I've had a really great time in New Orleans. But if you're from there and you live there, you're trash. And you guys need to be a whole different, you just need to cut it off, push it out into the ocean. Mm. It needs to be its own fucking thing. They speak their own language. It's insanity. Okay, they still have not gotten it together.
I mean, honestly, we should probably just give it back to France.
Fuck no.
Yeah, and with like, and by the way, with the fanciest names, right? Never has there been a trashier place with like a more, you know,
Cajun. That's what it is.
Is that
yeah,
the nice
but
way to
like
say
the
it?
Names are very French, right? Like they really leaned in to like we're fancy.
Yeah.
Eh. No, again, they're French trash.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
But also, I mean, you're just
oxymoron.
You're explaining culture, okay? You
want to
just cut off Louisiana and send it into the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah.
That's one of the few remaining places in this country that still has a soul.
That you can go there and be like, where the fuck am I? Get me out. This is not America. You can go, I'm not in America. You're right. It is one of the last places that you can go through and be like, I have crossed over into another country somehow. Into another land, into another universe. I mean,
which is surprising,
completely different there
because it's in the deep south, and you would think the deep south is generally like the most America that you can get,
sure,
but not Louisiana,
not Louisiana.
It's like French Canada.
So, welcome to all our listeners in and around Louisiana, New Orleans, any of those parish. You know, sorry. I've started out with how I feel.
We have standards.
Although, again, like I said, one real good thing about Louisiana, you can murder real good there. You can get away with it for decades.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you do pretty much the things that the person in our story does.
Yeah.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
Tori
out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
So, welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Crime Corner now.
Crime Corner somehow. It's like a not, it's not even, it's not even words, it's not even words.
They don't speak so much, it's just like chew up words and spit them out.
And make noises.
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The fuck are you talking about, Jesse?
Nolans. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, that's how you're supposed to say it?
Wait,
I'm so sorry.
I was supposed to drive Joel out to New Orleans, and when I was telling Uber driver that I was going to New Orleans, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's not, you gotta say Gnarlands, and I am never fucking saying that in my life.
You said, go fuck yourself.
I can read so I can pronounce the words.
No, Alan. So, welcome, like I said, to Jesse the Wiseman's Crime Corner. I am your host, Jesse Wiseman. I'm joined today by Coop, Matt Coop Cooperson.
Mm-hmm.
Not his name at all, but. and once again, producer extraordinaire, softcore history host and producer extraordinaire, Dan Delco Register. Thank you, buddy, once again for being on the ones and twos for us.
Yeah, of course. Really the driving force of softcore history. The show doesn't happen without me. Rob owes everything in his life to me.
That's what I've heard.
Sounds like he's being sarcastic, but that's it. He's being serious.
We all know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saying the quiet part out loud, but sarcastically, but not. Today we have got another fun and flirty episode for you. It's got all of our favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
Troubled childhood.
Love
those. Right? Bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Not letting you off the hook, but bullied real bad. Cruising for tail and nolans. Cruising for tail and nolans. And the greatest year in history for music and movies? 1997.
That year comes up a lot on this show. I looked into all the stuff that came out in 97. Almost every single song and movie that I like came out in 1997.
Right?
Strangely. I don't know
year. When were you born, Delco?
91.
Shut the fuck up.
See, that's why we didn't know any of the music that he was talking about before the episode.
God.
And I already had a drinking problem in 1991.
Disgust and disdain on his face. He was just like, you guys have not heard this. It's like he was just realizing, like, oh, God.
I'm sorry. 2025 positive Dan would never.
He would never. He's turning over a new leaf.
Really?
Nope. Are you?
Thank God.
Yeah, dude. I'm way more positive.
Yeah, dude.
Shit.
Come on, man.
I was hoping that I wasn't going to be the only one that's just staying exactly the same through 2025.
Oh, I am. Nihilist.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cynical, jaded.
Doing what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
To get by.
Listen, that's your right, you know?
Oh, boy. He really is turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, it's
that's your right. Like, he never talks about rights.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't like it.
We don't like New Leaf Delco. All right, let's get into it. Cute.
As we have mentioned many times in previous episodes, the year of our Lord, 1997, was one hell of a year. Hanson had just released their hit song, Mbop, which we both love.
Love.
Elton John topped the charts with Candle in the Wind, which he dedicated to Queen Elizabeth's successful assassination of Princess Diana, which good honor getting that bitch out of the picture.
Seriously.
And there were no less than 3 sex criminals on the Billboard Top 100.
What? Wait. Okay, go.
So we had R. Kelly, number one, already in prison.
Uh-huh.
Diddy, soon to join him.
Oh my gosh.
And then the third one. Shit, I forgot the third one, because I was looking through the charts, and I was like, holy shit, those are 3 people that either are in prison for sex crimes or soon to be in prison for sex crimes.
I mean, we're going to have to look it up. Mm-bop, doobie-dop, ba-doo, while you're looking, I'm doing the hold music. Doobie-dop, ba-doo. Oh, you got it? You found it?
No, I didn't look
it up. Okay, I was doing the music for you to look for the other sex offender.
Okay, gotcha.
So many relationships in this life, only one or two will last. Goes to all the pain and strife, turning around and gone so fast. Oh, yeah. And gone so fast.
Oh, duh. It was Usher.
Oh, wait. Is he a sex criminal?
Ooh, ask Justin Bieber.
Oh. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
The way that him and Puffy passed that kid back and forth I mean, I'm not saying that you know, Justin Bieber isn't up
right
there also, but he hasn't been accused of anything yet.
Right. Right. You sound like you've convicted him already. I, for one, still need proof.
Not in the court of public opinion, all right?
You're like, you like to be judge, jury, and executioner. They tell you one thing, you're like, put him in life.
Put him up against the wall.
Death penalty, right?
1997 also gave us classic films like The Fifth Element,
great
Men
film.
In Black,
great film.
Face Off. Some people even say that Con Air was released the same year, but this has yet to be confirmed by reputable sources.
Only every, but I mean, Box Office Mojo, every place that you go to look, whether those movies are in the same year,
a
will tell
of,
you they are.
Bunch of liberal websites, like I'm going to listen to them. While 1997 was an amazing year for films, music, sexual predators, and angry monarchs, it was not a great year to be part of the gay community in New Orleans. It was in July of 1997, just days before the release of the live-action George of the Jungle film, that a fat, sweaty douchebag named Ronald Dominique began dressing up as Patti LaBelle and terrorizing local gay bars. For nearly a decade, he left behind a trail of corpses that had been bound, strangled, and very likely covered in glitter.
Okay. So this is why, like, you can't pick anymore. I'm just going to have to pick.
Because of the glitter?
No, just, I mean, the amount of murder that we're talking.
It is a lot.
It's a lot. Mm. And he's been compared to, like, Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the Nons Dahmer now. I think because of the why, right?
Mm-hmm.
The childhood and the reason for the murder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very similar to that.
Right. Which some, not me, not you.
Not me.
Would say that made, like, Dahmer sympathetic, makes this guy a little bit more sympathetic.
Yeah.
Not, but some would say.
Some would say. When I was writing about his childhood, I had to keep jumping forward and rereading the shit that he did just so I didn't make it too sympathetic because, I mean, you can have a rough childhood and not turn out like a piece of shit.
That's true. That's true. Born on January 9th, 1964, Ronald Joseph Dominique started his life behind the eight ball and remained there permanently. His parents, a pair of unskilled laborers, struggled to support their six children in their rundown trailer house on the outskirts of Thibodaux, Louisiana. Is that how you say it?
Thibodaux, Louisiana.
I think you have to say now.
I also, unnecessary shot when you're like unskilled laborer. It's just such
right.
A
well,
they're living in a trailer park. I guess you could leave out the unskilled.
Well, it
part.
Means that you don't have. It's not
a
electrician.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's still just like unskilled.
You're
just doing work.
Yeah. Delco's talking
sometimes.
To you. You wrote it.
The truth hurts sometimes.
Yeah,
sorry.
If you live in a trailer in Louisiana, some shit might be said about you.
Now, a trailer in Southeast Oregon, you grow up to be somebody.
Oh.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, exactly. Or in, like, Ventura.
Or in Ventura.
Like, you're fucking rich.
Oh, yeah. Trailers
you're
in Ventura.
You're just a rich hippie with a BMW.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Old model, but still a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
So his parents were unskilled laborers, pieces of trash. Jeez, Delco. Struggled to support their six children in their rundown trailer house in the outskirts of Thibodaux, Louisiana. As a result, Dominique became an outcast, shunned by his peers at school. With the personality of a fence post and the body type that could be politely described as spherical, Ronald was a prime target for bullying. To make matters worse, the overweight pariah was also the least popular member of the school choir, which is real hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
Which, as an accomplishment in and of itself, when the theater kids are able to give you wedgies and stuff you in your locker, you know you did something terrible in a past life.
While all the other boys were out playing sports, drinking, and chasing girls, Ronald was busy watching musicals and critiquing his mother's wardrobe. That is to say that Ronnie was as gay as the day was long. Not long before graduating, he discovered he was a fan of sausages and they weren't the andouille kind. Hoping to find some... What?
Okay, go ahead.
Hoping to find some kindred spirits, Ronald began visiting local gay bars where he was just slightly more popular than he was at school. Which
by the way, like,
popular at all.
There's one. Are we talking about... So Thibodeau still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very small, but surprisingly a community.
Yeah.
For...
Enough of a community for there to be a gay bar.
Exactly.
Which is
huge.
I mean, that would have saved some of the people that I grew up with, that would have saved them a lot of trouble if there was a gay bar in my hometown because
so
they did
true.
Not have it easy.
Because then we could have Paddy's back, which should be an Irish pub, by
right?
the way.
God.
But since we didn't have a gay bar, now Paddy's has to be Paddy's.
And trust me, there is nothing less gay than an Irishman.
Yeah. Also, Paddy's was the shit.
Yeah, I only went there a handful of times. Nobody would buy me any drinks there, so I'm not going back.
Are you serious?
No, I never got hit on there.
Coop.
I know. But I
You
moved,
did
I,
get roofied, though. Right.
Oh, God. All
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, tons of times.
That's
yeah.
the reason I went back twice.
Just not hit on, yeah.
Yeah. Hoping to find some kindred spirits. I already went to that one. Unfortunately, some of his classmates spotted him leaving one of the establishments, bringing on even more ridicule. What's strange is some of his friends, or not friends, but some of the kids from school saw him at the gay bar, but nobody asked what they were doing around the gay bar. And feel,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
people
yeah,
in
yeah.
glass houses kind of thing.
Kind of like, I fucked you last night.
Dude, you're
like,
so
dude,
gay.
Yeah. You're like, wait a minute.
Hang on, how does that work? After four solid years of getting picked on, Ronald Dominique graduated high school and moved on to bigger and better things. He enrolled at Nicholls State University to pursue a degree in computer science, but soon lost interest. Working with computers didn't have the same appeal as getting repeatedly rejected by the faceless men on the other side of a glory hole. So Ronald dropped out of school to pursue a career as a full-time piece of shit.
Yeah. He didn't seem to stick with anything
ever.
Too long, except for...
The one thing he was kind of good at.
Yeah, the one thing that he liked. If you love what you do,
you never work a day in your
and
life.
He didn't.
He never worked a day in his life.
It didn't take long for Ronald to start having run-ins with the law. His first arrest came as the result of him having unwelcome phone sex, which resulted in him being fined $75. I mean, with no real skills to speak of, Ronald was forced to live with various family members as he worked low-paying jobs to pay off the fine. This first arrest was followed by a drunk driving charge in 1994, adding more to the total owed to the state in fines.
The first charge was sexual
really
harassment
weird.
Over the phone.
Was it almost like a stalking or?
It had to have been something like that because I couldn't find a full description of what exactly it was. But
because, by the way, unwanted phone sex, hang up.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, if they do keep calling back over and over again, I mean, just go with it. They're
Is that the same as like cyberbullying charges where you're like,
oh my God,
just put the phone down.
Get off of Twitter and grow up.
Right.
Or it's X now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elon.
In 1996, Ronald began dabbling in more serious offenses while living with his sister. A partially naked and very traumatized young man jumped out of his window and ran to a neighbor's house. The youth claimed that Ronald had overpowered and sexually assaulted him before attempting to kill him. Ronald was subsequently arrested and held in the local jail. Police kept him in custody for 3 months before ultimately releasing him with the alleged releasing him when the alleged victim was unable to be located. So I think this is the one where he handcuffed him and they went to like so tight that he had like marks mm-hmm. on his arms. He went to the police. The police were like, we're not really interested, as with Dahmer. We're not
so
interested in your gay shit.
Two.
So, like, we'll arrest him, but okay.
We're not getting involved in some lover's quarrel.
Yeah.
You do what you want to do, but just leave me out of it.
The craziest part of the Dahmer story is when the police give back the kid with the fucking hole,
in his head that he poured acid into. Crazy queers. They get off on anything.
Like the good old days, huh? Still alive and well in Louisiana, by the way. They're just getting cameras, I guess, probably places.
Someday.
And only in downtown.
Louisiana fast.
They're the old, it, the daguerreotype. You know, it all just goes onto a silver plate.
Yeah.
They'll catch up someday. During his stint in county jail, Ronald had been subjected to treatment worse than what he got in high school. And this is something else, along with his childhood, something else that contributed to his later actions.
Yes.
When he went into jail, like, they had a fucking field day with that guy.
Yeah, so he had two victims before that, that same thing, got away. One, I think he actually got arrested for. The other one is the one where the police were like, dude, no, like, we're fine. Mm-hmm. So he had two victims now that he didn't kill, and they went right to the police. Then he goes into jail. Go ahead.
According to him, the other inmates had physically and sexually assaulted him on numerous occasions. This experience taught Ronald a very important lesson, and he swore to never make the same mistake again. Unfortunately for his future victims, the lesson Ronald learned was to never leave behind a witness.
Exactly. I mean, the shit was so bad, he had to go to the hospital one time.
Ronald did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was getting it real, real bad in
You
prison.
Think that would make you be like, that didn't feel good. That made me feel really bad.
I should probably stop doing
Let
this.
Me change my ways. Now I know what it feels like.
You would think so. Sometime around the middle of July 1997, Ronald found his first murder victim, a 19-year-old black man named David Mitchell. Mitchell had been hitchhiking home, which hitchhiking in 1997, I thought we were way past the point where people learned that that was a bad idea.
Not in Louisiana, not in Louisiana.
Not in Orleans.
Not in Just, it's going to get even worse to where you're like, what?
The worse it gets, the closer it gets to reality.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm almost there.
Almost there.
I'm like too, I'm articulating too much.
Surprisingly, you're not slipping into New Zealander.
Because there is, like, I feel like there was one guy when we were at the Olive Garden dinner, and our waiter, I swear to God, I was like, what country are you from? Like, I thought he was from Peru, like, Peru, maybe he was Puerto Rican, whatever, Cuban. And he was like, no, I'm from Louisiana. And I was like, of course, yeah, you motherfucker. It's just this weird melding of all these different accents that you can't quite place it.
It is by far the strangest accent in the U.S. Like, there is no other accent like it.
Right. Welcome, Ruben. He's not from there, is he?
He can talk. I'm pretty sure he can read, too, so I doubt it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's probably not from there.
Mitchell had been hitchhiking home from a family gathering at his grandmother's house when Ronald stopped to offer him a ride. 2 days later, Mitchell's body was found lying in a water-filled ditch alongside a highway near Hanville. Initially, police ruled Mitchell's death as an accidental drowning. Water had been found in the victim's lungs, and there were no external signs of trauma. Mitchell's family, however, didn't believe this story. Not only had David been an excellent swimmer, the water level at the time was so low he could have easily walked to the shore. Sounds like some of the Lady Bird Lake deaths.
It's similar.
Adding further suspicion was the fact that Mitchell's pants had been pulled down around his ankles. Police ultimately refused to believe that a black man could swim, and the case was closed without further investigation. I mean, that's the only part of the story that doesn't add up, though.
Yeah. Koopa loop. Now you're getting it. You know what I mean? First started, you weren't too into it. Now you're leaning in, and I appreciate that, bud.
I got it.
You're a company man, okay? And I like it. He also had strangulation marks, right?
Not David Mitchell.
No?
No external. The first one that had external signs was, okay. I think, 3 kills later.
Okay. Emboldened by his first kill, Ronald immediately began looking for another victim, much like Jeffrey Dahmer. Ronald specifically looked for people who either wouldn't be reported missing or that the police wouldn't care to investigate. Criminals, vagrants, and members of the gay community were all fair game. And we will say most of them are black.
Yeah, he only had one white victim out of all of his victims. The rest were either black with a handful of, like, Latinos.
Yeah. Roughly 6 months after his first kill, Ronald found his second victim in... Wait, what? Yeah. Second victim in December of 1997. That was Face Off, I think. The corpse of a 20-year-old drug trafficker named
Con Air, I'll tell you
Gary...
that.
Pierre, right?
Yeah, there were so
even
many times
Ronald
that
Dominique.
So Ronald many times Dominique. That I wrote that name down as Gay Pierre.
Yeah, Gay Pierre. Gary Pierre was found only a few miles from the location police had discovered David Mitchell. Like Mitchell, Pierre was found alongside the highway with no signs of physical trauma and no drugs in his system. This time, Ronald had taken the time to put Pierre's pants back on before dumping the body. Ronald took another 6 months hiatus before going after the next victim. Once again, he targeted a member of the community that police would be unlikely to investigate. In July of 1998, 1 year after David Mitchell's death, the body of 38-year-old Larry Ranson was found near the same wooded area where the previous two bodies had been dumped. This time, however, police discovered signs of the victim being bound and assaulted. And this is where the pretty strong MO comes into play.
Starts to show up.
Either
right
there's
here.
Ligature or manual strangulation or both. Like getting tired of the manual, switching to ligature, which happens a couple times.
Yeah.
All pretty much, you know, luring these people with money, sex. Sex for money, drugs for money, all these kind of things.
Yeah, and as we'll find out later, so initially, pretty much all of his victims were part of the gay community. So he would use sex with him or offers of drugs to get them in. Then we started switching to straight people later. He would say, like, oh, you want to come hook up with my girlfriend? Just get in my creepy truck with
he
me.
He ran through all the... not a lot. But, yeah, gay or gay for pay. Both. Yeah.
Like Gary Pierre, Larry Ranson was known by the police. He was a local homeless man that had been arrested on multiple occasions for drug use. Also like Pierre, the police didn't really give a shit that somebody killed him. After a cursory investigation, the police shrugged their shoulders and walked away without solving the case. Ronald Dominique was free to yet again find another victim. Sometime in early October 1998, Ronald met a 27-year-old man named Oliver LeBanks at a gay bar in the Metairie community of Jefferson.
Metairie. That one I know.
Really? Okay, I didn't know how to pronounce that one. All these names are so goddamn weird. Just name them something American.
Think of the way not to pronounce it, and that's how they say it.
Ah, read it wrong.
Metairie.
LeBanks had recently ended up living on the streets after losing his job due to drug use. Ronald offered LeBanks cash in return for sexual favors, which LeBanks willingly provided. Ronald then knocked LeBanks unconscious before strangling him to death. He then dumped the corpse on the outskirts of Metairie, where it was later discovered on October 4th. This time, an autopsy revealed signs of bondage as well as traces of semen. So at least they're taking some DNA evidence now.
Right. At this point, we don't have the ability to test it, but I do love that even in the 70s, people were collecting these things for when it would
well,
be.
Well, this one here happened in 98, so it was...
Didn't we not get DNA till 99?
I think that's so before...
And even then, it was like...
They could say that it wasn't somebody, but they couldn't say that it was somebody.
Right, right.
They could disprove people, but they couldn't, like, confirm.
Right. And the thing I was saying about Louisiana, Delco, if you could pull up that map, the way that you're going to kind of after a while be like, how was he getting away with this? Because it was an MO. It was a strong MO. It was very frequent, right?
Yeah.
So he was going from, he was getting into.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Two different, what is, not districts.
Parishes.
Parish, but like police, what's their area? Like your
Township?
Jurisdiction?
Jurisdiction.
So he would go in between, so a different police department would be investigating it as if it was just one in their parish, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't, and it's Louisiana, they're not really talking to each other, and especially not about a homeless guy dying or whatever.
Even
so he would cross
world,
around. It's... And Louisiana has this fun thing called unincorporated areas where they don't fucking have shit. There's not even a
the
sheriff.
What's going on with Louisiana?
Okay. And so this is how, I mean, very wisely, he was able to do all of this
and
in short amounts of time and,
yeah,
and with
keep
a,
going for a long time.
Yeah.
It's kind of what John Dillinger did back in the day. He would
yep.
rob places on the borders of states.
Yes.
So that the state police couldn't chase him across the border.
Right. Or it would just be, it would be treated as just one crime instead of connecting everything, right?
But that's how the FBI, which wasn't really a thing until Dillinger, got involved because it was national. Because
they needed something yeah. that was like a database for everything. Yeah.
And look how that turned out.
Yeah. After the murder of Oliver Banks, Ronald greatly increased the frequency of his kills. Before the end of October 1998, he had already claimed another victim. Ronald lured 16-year-old Joseph Brown. His ages are all over the place.
All over the place.
Which is weird, actually. But before the end of October 1998, he had already claimed another victim. Ronald lured 16-year-old Joseph Brown into his truck with an offer to smoke some crack. After smoking, Ronald knocked Banks unconscious with a tire iron before sexually assaulting him and strangling him. Less than a month later, Ronald encountered 18-year-old Bruce Williams not far from where he had murdered Oliver Banks. Like his previous victim, Ronald lured Williams into his car with drugs before beating, raping, and strangling him. On and on and on. Ronald had discovered his modus operandi that he would use for nearly all of his future victims. And there would be many, many more victims.
Normally, with a lot of other prominent serial killers, you don't see them go into this killing spree mode where the frequency of their kills speeds up that much until, like, way towards the end of their run.
Right.
But Ronald would kind of go in spurts, especially that one right there. I think all of those deaths were the closest together out of all of them. And then he would take off, like, 6 months, or he'd take off 3 months, or
yeah.
something like that. And then every now and then he would just get a group of them all together back to back within, you know, a month or 2 months of each other, then lay low for a little while.
Yeah.
Which I assume would also make it somewhat harder to determine that it was a serial killer, but the location of the bodies and the similarity of the deaths, I would think would start raising some alarm bells. But like you were pointing out, if the parishes aren't all cooperating with each other and sharing information,
people that they aren't going to investigate, and for a long time we're basically being like, you guys don't have anything to worry about. Like, they would do press conferences and be like, it's just trash, they're taking out the trash,
yeah,
quote unquote,
yeah, which is
so people were like, all right, like, they're only, no one has to worry about it, they're only going after lowlifes, right?
Yeah.
And they weren't connecting it as one person, and they were just like telling the community, you're fine. So no one was on guard. No one was thinking that there was someone out there killing, you know, drug dealers or sex workers or whatever. And here's where the two different kinds of serial killers come in, where I think there's lust killers, right? And then sexual killers, where like killing is part of the sexual.
The product killers and process killers.
Right.
Some of them enjoy the end result. Some of them enjoy the process of...
Right,
of,
but in same as Dahmer, you're killing so that you don't get caught. Like, mm-hmm. that's not the part you really want to do. He just learned with the first two, they don't want to do this fucking weird shit with him, and they're going to tell on him. So he wants to do the weird shit, how do you keep doing the weird shit? You've got to kill him afterwards.
You leave no witnesses.
So it's not the murder that's like the thing that he wants, yeah. Right?
Ronald had finally found something that he was not only passionate about, he was starting to convince himself he was good at it, which he wasn't. As his body count continued to rise, his crimes got more and more sloppy. Each subsequent victim was found with similar markings from being bound, as well as traces of his DNA. His next victim came in May of 1999, roughly 6 months after his previous murder. While cruising around Kenner and Jefferson Parish, Ronald came across 21-year-old Manuel Reed. Once again, Ronald lured the young man into his truck with drugs, then brutally attacked him. He then dumped the corpse in a dumpster near where he had murdered Joseph Brown. And I think it was like less than a mile from where the previous murder was. So some of these did happen in the same jurisdiction. But
even miles apart, like even one, like he was saying, John Dillinger, like even a mile away with this fucked up shit could be in different, either unincorporated or a different parish or whatever. So
oh, yeah.
He did kind of try and say to that, but yeah, he got sloppy and would do him just right in the same place. We haven't showed a picture of him yet.
Oh, yeah, we should. So
let's see what we're dealing with. Let's see what we're working with here. Okay.
So look at this that handsome is, man. Tell me you wouldn't get in his truck.
Well, you know, if you need some money, if you True. Like crack
he
a lot.
He approaches you, you know, 1:55 a.m. at the bar. What you doing?
You know what I mean?
Well, if he's got crack, you want I know crack. What I'm doing. I'm
going he's got it. All you got to do is, whatever.
No, but Jesse, you know, your bartending days, this man comes up, approaches you late night. What you doing?
Oh, not, what am I doing? Telling him the bar's closed. And he's cut off.
Time to go home.
Unless he's got money. I talked to worse for money.
Does have kind of a
talked
baby face.
Talked to Delco. Talked. With a bar in between us.
Baby face with a hairline to match.
Mm-hmm.
Around 1 month later, Ronald used his tried and true methods to abduct and kill a 21-year-old homeless man named Angel Mejia. Once again, Ronald planned on leaving the corpse in a nearby dumpster, but found that it was already full of trash. Instead of finding another location, Ronald unceremoniously dumped the body on the side of the street and fled. So he literally just dumped the body,
like pushed
wrapped
it out.
In plastic, yeah. Right next to the dumpster.
He was like, I gotta go.
Split.
Yeah. And we need to show him in drag, too.
Yeah, let's see him dressed up as Patti LaBelle.
So this was before murders.
Mm-hmm.
He performed at a drag show as Patti LaBelle.
Looks better here.
Yeah. I would say, yeah.
Makeup does wonders.
Like, looks just like a normal nonce lady. Sorry.
Oh, you know what?
Sorry.
Yeah, I could see
like,
that.
Like, I would have stayed like that, dude. You would have been fine.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be into that.
I mean, look at this.
Yeah, like, you want that? Or you want, like, hi. Oh, hi.
Yeah, he looks much, much friendlier as Patti LaBelle. But also, that's not a very good Patti LaBelle, unless he's got the feather boa, and we can't really see what he's wearing in that.
Yeah.
But he's got to have the feather boa and the sequins.
It's a great wig.
Yeah.
It actually looks, like, very realistic.
That looks almost exactly like my mom's hair around, like, 95.
Yes. I guess he was really, really horrible at drag and singing.
Really?
Yeah.
Poor guy. He was... God, I know. He's just not good at anything.
He's not good at... Well...
Oh,
he was good at one thing, but the thing that he wanted to do, he was not good at.
He couldn't even, like, lock down drag brunch.
You know what I mean? He couldn't even get, like, you know, just being fun. Just people did not fucking like this guy since day one. Like we said, theater kids are fucking thinking you're weird.
God, that takes a lot.
Yeah, and you're not good at the thing you want to do, which is singing, performing, like... Again, we're not being sympathetic at all, but my God.
I don't think he went heavy enough with the makeup. If he went like way heavier with the makeup.
That's like, what I mean. Really he did flamboyant. Just like a, that's what I'm saying. He just did
pretty,
like a normal. He did just the normal Louisiana gal, like at the bar, at the dive bar. Like he didn't go like over the top. But anyways, yeah. So now he's getting sloppy. Over the following years, bodies continued to be found around New Orleans, all with similar signs of being tied up and assaulted. It only took the police 8 years.
Only eight years.
I know. That's a good run, bro.
Good number. I bet most of them couldn't even count that high.
In those years, too? Those were like prime serial killer years. Like, they weren't even wanting to be the person that caught a serial killer. Like, they were just like, no, fuck it.
That's got to be the dream of, like, every detective to find a serial killer.
Yeah,
maybe that's
like,
just nowadays.
I see a connection, right?
I think back then there were so many more serial killers, like, through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, that they were just kind of like, ah, fuck it, whatever, let somebody else deal with
it. So it took them 8 years to start suspecting that the deaths may be connected. Between August of 1999 and April of 2005, Ronald claimed 9 additional victims. It was then that authorities finally realized that they were potentially dealing with a serial killer. The investigation was handed over to the FBI, who formed a task force consisting of 9 Louisiana sheriff's offices and state police. As the task force worked on tracking down the person responsible for the murders, Ronald continued to give them new murders to investigate, each one sloppier than the next. Before the end of 2005, Ronald claimed 5 additional lives. Now living alone in a trailer, Ronald was free to bring his victims home.
So around this time, he'd been bouncing back and forth between different family members, primarily his mom and his sister. And once he realized that he was eventually going to get caught, according to him, once he realized that he was going to get caught, he was like, I should probably move out of my sister's house, because when the police show up, I don't want to inconvenience her. So
yeah,
he knew it was coming, and then he went off and found a trailer.
Yeah, same with Dahmer. Wasn't he in Grandma's basement? And Grandma was like, hey, dude, no.
Enough with bringing home dead bodies.
Smells fucking weird.
Yeah.
You're weird. I don't know. You got to go. So then he found, like, this disgusting apartment, right? At least he could be alone.
Yeah, then eventually moved into a trailer park, and that's when he really came into his own, at least for a little while. Oh, also, something that happened during this time, you know, the old saying, a broken clock's right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that lived in the trailer park, I actually looked him up. His name was Kenneth Randolph Jr.
Okay.
Kenneth Randolph Jr. was a 3 times convicted sex offender for molesting kids. So Ronald got to be friends with him, lured him into his trailer, tied him up, and assaulted him and killed him. So that's the one that we can
vigilante.
We can kind of let that one slide.
That's the one when they say whoever this is just taking out the trash. That's what they meant.
That's definitely what they meant. I tried to find a picture of this Kenneth Randolph guy. Couldn't find any pictures of him, but apparently Kenneth Randolph is a popular name among criminals, because the one guy that I could find was from Beaumont, Texas, and he was indicted for stripping off all of his clothes and attempting to steal a fire truck. And when he was caught, he was laying in the middle of the street, just butt naked.
I feel like I've done that on Crime Corner or something, on Ross Patterson Revolution. So now living alone in a trailer, Ronald was free to bring his victims home. Many of the victims were lured into Ronald's trailer with promises of drugs and sex, where he would then trick them into letting them tie them up for, like, more. He would, like, offer more money if we could, like, do this kind of stuff. Then once they were tied up, sexually assaulting them and strangling them. By 2006, Ronald had killed at least 23 men between the ages of 16 and 46. Couple of Latins, right?
They still look good at that age. The one white guy,
I think he was the white guy was the 46-year-old too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's the worst age for a white guy.
That was the one found in the storage unit.
Oh, okay. So the men that he killed that he was soliciting for sex, those are the ones that would, you know, semi-willingly let him tie him up. The ones that I don't understand are the straight guys that he lured in by saying, like, hey, man, you come hang out with me and party and I'll let you have sex with my girlfriend. And he would show him a picture of a really attractive girl. How do you look at that girl and then look at him and be like, oh, yeah, totally his girlfriend? So once he would get him in the trailer, he would convince him that his girlfriend was really into bondage. So he had to tie him up first, and then his girlfriend was going to show up. So, for sure, I could be lured into a trailer with a promise of sex and drugs, but you're not going to tie me up once I get out there.
No, that's where you draw the line.
That's definitely where I draw the line.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, I hear like crack is a crazy drug.
Oh, it's
crazy.
Do you
know what I mean? Like, I hear crack, meth, stuff like that. Like, again, from what I hear, you kind of do a lot of shit for it.
It's good enough that I've been afraid to try it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's saying something.
Exactly.
Ronald's reign of terror was brought to an end when one of his intended victims decided that letting a stranger tie him up in a dirty trailer was kind of a bad idea. You would think that all of them would come to that conclusion, but again, crack is a hell of a drug.
It really is. It trumps, I guess, just about anything.
I think everything but heroin.
Yeah.
Another one that I've always been too afraid to try. Sometime around June or July of 2006, Ronald lured a man named Ricky Wallace into his murder trailer by promising to give him drugs and let him have sex with his super hot girlfriend.
Yeah.
While this would have been enough, I was jumping ahead of myself a little.
Sure.
While this would have been enough to convince me to follow a stranger into a trailer park, Ricky was a little too smart to fall for it. After doing some drugs with Ricky, Ronald told him that his girlfriend was into bondage. As such, she wanted Ricky to be tied up before they had sex. Ricky thought this was kind of strange and declined to let Ronald restrain him. With the mood thoroughly killed, Ronald asked Ricky to leave. The disappointed Ricky later approached police to inform them of what happened. This finally put Ronald Dominique in the spotlight.
Okay, but like, what is that, like, how does that conversation go to the police? Hey, man, I went to do some drugs with this guy. He wanted to tie me up. I said no, and I left. Put him away. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is that police report?
Well, also, if I would imagine that if you're the type of person where going to some random guy's trailer to do drugs and have sex with a random woman, you're probably not the type of person that interacts with the police very comfortably.
Right.
So, and he also decided this like a few months after it had happened. He was just sitting around in his trailer one day,
like,
going,
you know what?
I gotta tell somebody about this.
That was fucking weird.
Yeah.
Right? Like once he like sobered up or whatever. Also, a big fail on Ronald's part. Like, you don't get them high. Like, you don't give them the cow. Right? If you want to get tied up for free or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever the saying would be.
Why buy the cow?
Why buy the cow when you can tie him up before you even give him? Do you know what I mean? Like, drugs are coming.
That is really
crazy that he gave him everything they wanted from him, and then they still got tied up.
Well, nobody said he was a good businessman.
In November of 2006, Ronald was brought in for questioning, where he willingly gave police a DNA sample. Investigators were able to match the DNA with the semen found on many of the victims' bodies. On December 1st, 2006, Ronald Dominique was finally arrested. Once at the police station, he confessed to 23 murders, giving police details about the killings that were only known to investigators. During his confession, Ronald refused to actually admit any guilt, claiming that the victims had been willing participants, according to him. If the person refused to be tied up and raped, he would let them go. So if you think about it, they kind of killed themselves.
Just saying.
Great, Ronald. Yeah. He was saying this in his, like, his interrogation and confession is a little bit bizarre.
Well, they want you to struggle, right? So best thing you could do if you do get kidnapped, Jesse.
Yeah.
Be into it.
Listen,
or I've criticize him.
I'm like, a woman. About, I've thought about it.
Talk about like, hey, these are a little loose. Like, you got to tie this a little tighter.
Yeah.
You got to just criticize him.
Yeah, you don't think that any woman has gone through all of that scenario. There's a story of one girl that like started talking to the dude in like this sympathetic way and talking about God and like getting on his like level and starting to like be into it, and she was fucking let go. If you don't think every one of us,
like the toy box killer or something, it was one of the really, really prominent, like,
or Elizabeth,
gnarly.
Elizabeth Smart. It was one of those, like, girls that were kept captive for...
I think Elizabeth Smart, that was a Black Dahlia, wasn't it?
No, Elizabeth Smart's alive. I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like, right. She kind of did what she had to do, and, like...
Elizabeth Short was a Black Dahlia.
Yeah. Kind of tried to figure out what the person really needed. Like, Ronald didn't want to kill you. Same as Dahmer.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted you to fucking do some weird ass shit with him and be fucking cool with it and be into it.
Yeah.
Would you have died if you just did it? You don't know that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it could have worked.
Could have. I mean, just take one for the team. At least you'll live for another day.
Let him get tired of you. Do you know what I mean?
Dude,
him get tired and be like, ah, moving on.
From my experience, you spend about a week with any woman, you're going to get sick of them and want them to
get
leave.
Clingy. That's what I thought, too. I would go, like, get really clingy and annoying. That's either he'll kill you or he'll just be like, ugh, you're, like, so needy.
I mean,
like, you love me so much.
What's the old saying? For every hot chick, there's a dude tired of killing her.
Exactly. I think that's the saying.
I was going to say, like, would you still want to kill me if I was a worm?
Yeah. Like, what if I had one leg? Would you still kill me? What if I, like, laughed like this? Would you kill me? Do you know what I mean? Like, do all those. Would you still kill me? Yeah. And I think he would 100% let me go. And just be like, dude, she's way too into it. Like, I don't want you to be super into it.
And then you start creeping them out.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Start doing weirder shit.
Hey, that's...
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's the move. You got to act crazy.
That's the move.
Like, yeah, if somebody challenges you to a fight and you know they're probably going to beat your ass, just get crazy.
Get crazier. Unpredictable. Shifty.
Or I can't remember what comedian said it, but one of them said, like, just yell, stop, no, you're giving me a boner.
Yeah. Something where you're just like, oh, what? Like, disarm them somehow. He refused to admit any guilt, claiming that the victims had been willing participants. This defense obviously failed miserably, and Ronald was charged with 23 counts of murder. After a lengthy legal battle, what are you battling?
I was confused about that too, because they had the confession, but they still needed to result to a plea deal.
Yeah, because then there's people like the confession killer that just confess to it. You know what I mean? You have to make sure that he really did all of these so you can close those cases. So you have to, like, get the evidence, go to each thing. Did you do this one? You know, and close the cases out.
That was like Otis Toole, and I can't remember the name of his partner, but he was one of the guys that would just, the police loved him because they would tell him about a murder, be like, oh yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Hey, give me some Burger King and I'll tell you everything you want to know about it.
Confession Killer. It was a really good documentary. Guy was so fucking gross, but they... When he said he had a murder to confess to, they would, like, take him out, move jails. He would get coffee, cigarettes. They'd talk to him, right? So
Henry Lee Lucas. Henry Lee Lucas was the one that was like that, too.
Yes. So you have to, like, make sure that you're closing the case with the right perpetrator, right?
Yeah.
So that, I think, was the lengthy battle, not anything where he was trying to get out of... He confessed. So Ronald accepted a plea deal from prosecutors and was found guilty of all 23 murders. On September 24th, 2008, Ronald Dominique was sentenced to 8 life sentences without possibility for parole. He is currently incarcerated at the Louisiana State Penitentiary. Louisiana State Penitentiary.
Penitentiary now.
Which has a long and well-known history of inmate-on-inmate sexual assaults. And we all know where that leads. Now,
yes, we do.
When I said, you think he did it? I'm just kidding. did they die?
I don't know,
the amount of times that Joel would be like, have to be like, did that one die? Did he die? Yeah, they all died, dude.
I was expecting Joel to be here for this one, but apparently he's out starting fires in California or something. But that's why I cut out so many of the murders just so he didn't... I mean, he'd wear his vocal cords out asking if they died.
Dude, we ruined his fucking week. Thankfully, we have Stone Cold Delco.
Damn right.
Where he's like, what? I don't know.
He's like, did they die? I don't care if they died.
I'm just a positive man today.
That's right.
And this year.
New leaf.
Yeah, so I'm like, positive Delco.
You know, did he, was he wrongfully accused? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to hear both sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, I could see an argument.
He was a victim too.
I can see the argument for sympathy for some of these gay kids that weren't able to be gay kids and had a horrible childhood and just wanted somebody to fucking do some fucked up sick flick shit with them, and nobody will because they're ugly and weird, right?
Yeah.
That's all they want.
There's...
They just want someone to act like a corpse. In Dahmer's case, act like a corpse, be their little weird sex doll for at least a week.
Stay with them forever. Well, until they decompose.
Yeah.
I will say, gay dudes do not get enough shit for how aggressive they are.
As far as, like, hitting on and pursuing?
Yeah, handling rejection. And yeah, they get a little touchy and weird.
With you?
Honestly, I'm with Delco on this.
No,
one.
Just in general, I think for, like, of the entire population, gay dudes get away with the most. Just because they get to play card.
Oh, for sure.
Spacey tried to pull it. He's like, all those allegations came out against him. He's like, well, I'm gay.
He's like, well, I'm coming out of the closet, I guess.
Picked a,
and you're like, as what?
Strangely,
you know who this worked for?
Come out.
Fucking Colton Underwood, right?
That's so true.
Remember he had a tracker on his girlfriend's car?
Oh, and was like
doing all this crazy stuff. And then when they caught him, he's like, yeah, but I'm gay.
You're absolutely right.
Maybe that's the trick.
Yeah. You just go, oh, but I'm gay. Here's my story. Here's my journey.
Get out of here, you
silly
queer.
It's not
going
to work anymore, though, right?
In Trump's America? Hell no.
No, because nobody cares.
I was just going to say, not in Trump's America.
Nobody cares. Ari Shaffir says in his new special, it's like, sorry, gays, you're just one of us now. Like, it's fucking normal as shit. Like, sorry, you can't pull the fucking gay card anymore. It's all normal, dude.
Hey, time makes fools of us all.
It's trans now. Mm-hmm. Step aside, gays. Yeah, and like we said, we all know where that leads. Now, when I said earlier in the episode that this first stint in prison was so bad, he had to go to the hospital. What do you reckon I was talking about?
I mean, do you think he was getting stabbed or something? Getting shanked?
Let me rephrase. So the sexual assault was so bad, he had to go to the hospital. What do you reckon, Coop, if you were to guess?
It'd be one of two things, either erectile dysfunction from exhaustion, but I don't think he was a pitcher. I think he was a catcher. So in that case.
So he was a pitcher in his crimes. He was a catcher in prison, which I'm sure he did. He wasn't into because it was a domination thing, right? So now he's a catcher in prison. What do you reckon?
First thing that pops in my mind, got to be a prolapse.
Yep. Pushed it right back in. Thank you.
Hey, if you can't handle the prolapse, don't do the crime.
Yeah, sorry. If you can't handle this crime, again, we've got to do a breather. I'm gonna give you one. A case. It's just gonna be a normal woman fucking poisons her husband shit, dude.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Oh, I thought you were gonna give him a breather for his prolapsed anus.
Oh, yeah.
So
there's
he
that
could,
too.
Sun it, you know?
Yeah.
Need
get it nice
two.
And open.
Yeah. Those two. But.
Okay. We'll do an easier case.
Just a gal case for me, right?
Okay.
I really have let you run. You've been doing some metal ass shit, dude. And I like it. I like
you've
it.
You've been humoring me and I appreciate it.
No. I love
she
it.
She needs like a betrayed housewife that murders her husband who's a piece of shit and probably deserved it.
Right, and like is trying to get money and then the money runs out and so they sue the insurance company and get caught. You know what I mean? Just the normal fucking.
And then we can make a statement on insurance companies and yeah. So relatable.
The average
days.
Female
I know
fantasy.
You don't
I
want
know
to.
How it is.
I know, I know. No, you don't want to, but let's do that one for the next
okay,
one.
Deal.
All right, deal. One, two, three.
Prolapsed anus.
There you go. He knows the drill.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.